This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is out today. Jury selection in the trial of James Whitey Bulger began in South Boston today. Judge Denise Casper's rule number one for citizens called to their civic duty? Ignore media coverage of the case. Turn the page, change the channel, or close the screen, she told groups of prospective jurors as they filled out important questionnaires at the Moakley Federal Courthouse. But ignoring media coverage may well be impossible, as the trial of Boston's most notorious gangster is the highest-profile case the region has seen in some time. 675 people are in the jury pool. That group has to be whittled down to 18. WBUR's Asma Khalid has been in federal court all day witnessing today's proceedings. And Asma, what did you see? What did that jury pool look like?
Hi, Meghna. Well, there were about 225 people there in the morning. Another 225 people were brought in the afternoon. There's a whole lot of range, a wide range of ages that were there. I will say I didn't see as much diversity in the room as I had anticipated. But as you mentioned, in total, there are 675 people at this point. I mean, if you do the math, you're looking at really less than a 2% chance, if you are one of those jurors, of being selected.
And so what were the jurors, those prospective jurors, I have to say, asked to do today?
Well, they were given a detailed 16-page questionnaire to complete, and it really is quite detailed. Questions included such things as, you know, do you believe that the sale of marijuana should be legal? Or have you read any books regarding organized crime in Boston? Clearly, you know, directly implying that organized crime is possibly a link to James Whitey Bulger.
And Asma, were defense or prosecuting attorneys allowed to speak to any of these any of the jurors? Were any of the prospective jurors singled out or eliminated today just based on today's proceedings? Or do they have to wait until all those questionnaires are filled out and examined?
They'll have to wait, you're right, until all of those questionnaires are filled out, examined. They'll be examined by the judge and by the attorneys on both the defense and the prosecution side.
Okay. So, Asma, a little earlier we talked about how Judge Denise Casper said that rule number one for prospective jurors was that they have to ignore media coverage of the case.
Uh-huh.
What else did she tell them today?
Well, she outlined the government's allegations against James Whitey Bulger. That includes a really a long list, money laundering, extortion, racketeering. You know, what was curious is that she only briefly mentioned murder when referencing the racketeering counts. And I feel like that's what we've been hearing so much about in the lead up to this very, you know, sort of famous trial. But she mentioned that sort of in passing. She also told the jury multiple times that they need to recognize that Mr. Bulger is innocent until proven guilty. She stressed that a couple of different times. And she did emphasize that the burden of proof is really on the government. And at this point, these are merely accusations. She also did say, as you highlighted above, you know, that really it's important for potential jurors to stay away from media coverage. You know, there's been some confusion about, you know, who doesn't really know about Whitey Bulger if you live in New England. She did say that if you've heard about Whitey, you know, you might have read something here and there about him. That does not necessarily disqualify you. She did tell all of them, though, that once they leave the courtroom, they are not to tell anyone, not even family members, that they were here specifically for this case.
Interesting. Now, one of the more compelling things that I saw coming out of the reporting from the courthouse today, including yours, was that Whitey Bulger himself was present all day long.
Yes.
So what did he look like? What was the mood surrounding him?
You know, he looked, I guess his demeanor seemed very similar to how I've seen his demeanor in various pretrial hearings. But I guess what was the most notable difference was his attire. Normally he's been wearing that quintessential orange jumpsuit for his pretrial hearings. Today he was wearing blue jeans, a navy blue long sleeve tee, and a khaki belt. And I'm very attuned to various fashion sense, so I was paying attention to what he was wearing. And he did say he spoke to the potential jury pool. He was introduced and he said, "Good morning." Those were the only words I heard him say.
Interesting. And finally, originally Judge Casper wanted to have the jury pool whittled down to those key 18 and sworn in by Friday. Is there a sense that that's going to happen? That's going to stay on track?
It does not look like that is going to happen at all. Just a little while ago, the defense attorney, Bulger's attorney, J.W. Carney, came out and spoke to a group of us media that were outside the courthouse. And he said that at this point, it looks like they're only going to finish part one of jury selection by Friday evening. And that part one is going over all of the questionnaires. None of the individual Q&As that they were hoping to have once they had actually looked through those questionnaires will now happen until Monday. So any hopes for opening statements on Monday is certainly not happening at this point.
WBUR's Asma Khalid reporting live from Mokley Federal Courthouse. Asma, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, in many ways, jury selection is a revealing gambit that could give us a glimpse into the broader legal strategies of both the prosecution and defense, and particularly in the defense's case. If you were J.W. Carney, one of Whitey Bulger's lawyers, what kind of jury would you want to impanel for this trial? Well, for an answer, or a potential answer, we turn to someone who's been through this before. Joseph Krawski, Jr. is a longtime Brockton and Boston criminal defense attorney. He most recently served as defense counsel in another high-profile case, that of Keith Luke, the neo-Nazi whom just a few days ago was convicted of rape and murder. Mr. Krawski has also tried cases alongside Hank Brennan, who is currently one of Whitey Bulger's attorneys. Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
So, first of all, let's talk about, from your position as a defense attorney, what kind of juror would you want impaneled in the Bulger case?
Sure. Well, first, let's go through the process. It's a little bit of a departure from the basic process. Your report had just detailed that 16-page questionnaire, which is a little more extensive than the typical questionnaire up in federal court. The primary thing you want is a juror, and it's an oversimplification, but a juror that can be fair and impartial. It's very important in this case because a lot of people come to this case with preconceived notions of either the federal government or, more importantly, of Whitey Bulger.
Due to the years, if not decades, of coverage on him.
The absolute notoriety that Whitey Bulger brings to the table, absolutely. So you get that questionnaire, and that's designed to strike jurors for cause. And what that means is jurors that, based upon their answers, it's clear to either the attorneys or the judge they can't be fair. You have an unlimited amount of challenges for cause. I think in this case, the procedure she's going to follow is that she wants written objections. Some of those answers to the questionnaires might invite further questioning by attorneys. But you get all of the jurors out that on their face can't be fair because you want primarily fair and impartial jurors.
Well, Mr. Krawski, let me ask you a little bit more about that because I'm looking at an April 30th version of this questionnaire. We don't have the one that's currently in use in front of us. But an older version of the questionnaire had interesting questions. You know, Asma mentioned earlier, like, have you read any books on organized crime? Do you have a relative or close friend who's ever been the victim of a crime? Then there's also quite a few questions about whether or not you have any relatives, close friends, or associates who've ever worked in law enforcement, for example. So what exactly are they trying to suss out answers?
Let me deal with the first, the law enforcement's a very standard question. And a defendant has a right to know if a potential juror is either him or herself involved in law enforcement or has close family ties to someone that's involved in law enforcement. And what that the judge will do then is ask that juror, it's not an outright exclusion, but it invites further inquiry. Does that involvement make it difficult for you to be fair and impartial? You might hear police testimony that, or law enforcement testimony that is contradicted by civilian testimony. Would you give more weight to the law enforcement testimony because of your background? Would the things that you talk about with your spouse or your son or daughter related to their law enforcement involvement make it fair for you to give a defendant in a criminal trial a fair trial? The victims, a lot of people that have been victimized by crime, come to that jury veneri predisposed against defendants. Mm. So that's a matter of due process. And as far as the media attention, what books you read, I think that's particularly important in this case because I don't think we can count how many books have been written about Whitey Bulger. And obviously, each book has a different slant. And I'm sure, knowing the work ethic of Attorney Brennan, he's probably read every single one of those books. And if a book had something that was inaccurate, had misinformation, or was overly prejudicial, you'd want to know if a juror had read that book.
Well, Mr. Krauske, you mentioned the notoriety, the amount that's been written. This is such a Boston story, such a Boston case.
It is.
That made me wonder, I don't see anything in the older version of the jury questionnaire that asks about one's particular background in terms of how long have you lived in the city? Are you from the neighborhoods in which some of these alleged crimes took place? I mean, is it if you were standing next to Mr. Brennan, one of Bulger's defense attorneys now, I mean, would you advise him we need to look for people who have South Boston roots, for example, or folks maybe who aren't from the neighborhood at all? What would work better in the defense's eyes?
I think that's too limited of a question because I think jurors from Boston could look at it from either way. One, they could look at it and think that there is no way that John Connolly, who worked for the FBI, was operating alone, that whatever Whitey Bulger did, he did with the acquiescence of the entire Boston FBI office. There are people from Boston that might know some of the government's chief witnesses have absolutely no credibility. The other hand of that is there are some witnesses from Boston that might think, well, of course, Whitey Bulger was involved in organized crime, and if he was involved in organized crime, he's guilty of the larger things that he's charged with. So I think you really have to look at all of the questions and can't isolate it to one. They do have geographical and biographical information where it will be pretty easy for the lawyers to find out where they live, how long they've lived in a particular area.
Right.
The larger question about what kind of juror would I want is, I would want an educated or street smart type of juror in this case. And here's the reason why. Typical case, I just tried Keith Luke. That was a long case, and that had about 5,000 pages of discovery, which was exceptional for a criminal trial in Massachusetts. The Bulger trial has between 800,000 and 1,000,000 pages of discovery. There are several hundred witnesses. It's going to take 3 months. You want someone that is going to stay focused and stay sharp, but you importantly, in my opinion, as a defense attorney, want someone who can think outside of the box. There was a comment by a reporter that there wasn't a lot of mention about the murders. Well, the murders is just a component of the racketeering RICO indictments. He's not charged with murder in and of itself. If he was, it would be no federal jurisdiction. It would be a state court crime. You want someone that can think outside of the box and not just assume, sure, Whitey Bulger was involved in the Winter Hill Gang. He was involved in organized crime, so of course he's guilty of all these indictments. You want someone that can question the validity of those three chief government witnesses, Matarano and Flemmy and Weeks, who are getting sweetheart deals for their involvement in this trial. You want someone that can really question whether or not an FBI office, as sophisticated as it was, could really let this go on under their nose and not know what was going on.
Yeah. My final question to you, because we're running down on time here.
Sure.
I mean, you also want someone who is, I presume, able to leave their lives and sit through a case that's going to go all summer. I mean, is that a concern? Does that whittle down the jury pool to a group of people that maybe aren't in the best interests? Not to say that a juror needs to be in the best interest, but someone who, from the defense's point of view, isn't the ideal juror.
Sure, it is a daunting challenge, and there's no easy answer because the flip side is you also don't want someone there that doesn't want to be there. So if a juror expresses a hardship, you don't want them there. And that's a problem probably for both sides, more so for the defense. But, you know, finding jurors who come with that, with a certain level of education, getting a cross-section of the community, tough to do when you tell them, look, you better, whatever you're doing now, set it aside for the next 3 months. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of the biggest challenges besides the pretrial publicity that comes to this jury selection process.
Well, Joseph Krauske is a criminal defense lawyer based in Brockton. He's tried many cases alongside Hank Brennan, who's one of James Whitey Bulger's defense attorneys. And he joins us today talking about what a defense team might want to see in this jury selection process in the Bulger case. Mr. Krauske, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was absolutely my pleasure to be on.